So we're going to have some readings this evening. I thought we'd read from Shrutakirti's book, What is the Difficulty? A lot of nice nectar in there. And now I was just going to read the last part of the final lesson in Srila Satsvarupa Maharaj's book, Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. It's nectar also, but it's I like to think of it as sobering nectar. And so, and then other two speakers will also speak. So. 15 minutes or 20 minutes? Okay, so what's that? Okay. On November 14th, 1977, at 7:30 p.m., in his room at the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada gave his final instruction on leaving this mortal world and going back to Godhead. His departure was exemplary because his whole life was exemplary. His departure marked the completion of a lifetime of pure devotional service to Krishna. A few days before the end, Srila Prabhupada had said he was instructing as far as he could, and his secretary had added, "You are the inspiration." "Yes," Srila Prabhupada had replied, "that I shall do until the last breathing." Prabhupada's last breathing was glorious, not because of any last-minute mystical demonstration, but because Srila Prabhupada remained in perfect Krishna consciousness. Like Grandfather Bhishma Dev, he remained completely collected and noble and grave, teaching until the end. He was preaching that life comes from life, not from matter, and he was showing that one should preach with every breath he has. The many devotees who crowded the large room bore witness that up to the very end, Prabhupada remained exactly the same. There was nothing suddenly incongruous with what he had previously shown and taught them. At the time of his departure, therefore, he was teaching how to die by always depending on Krishna. Prabhupada's passing away was peaceful. During the evening of November 14th, the Kaviraj asked him, "Is there anything you want?" And Prabhupada replied faintly, "Kuch icha nahim." If my pronunciation was okay, can one of our Indian devotees translate what that was? Kuch icha nahim. Yeah, I have no desire. I have no desires. That was what he said to the Kaviraj. His passing away was in the perfect situation, in Vrindavan, with devotees. A few months previously, a young girl, the daughter of one of Prabhupada's disciples, had passed away in Vrindavan. And when Srila Prabhupada had been asked if she went back to Godhead to personally associate with Krishna, he had said, "Yes, anyone who leaves his body in Vrindavan is liberated." Of course, Vrindavan also means the state of pure Krishna consciousness. As Advaita Acharya had said of Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are is Vrindavan." And this was also true of Srila Prabhupada. Had Srila Prabhupada passed away in London, New York, or Moscow, therefore, his destination would have been the same. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, "One who is always thinking of me, surely he attains to me." But because Vrindavan Dham is the quintessential realm of Krishna consciousness within the universe, the ideal place for departure from this world, so it was yet another exemplary feature of Srila Prabhupada's life that he went back to Godhead with Vrindavan as his last junction. Those Vaishnavas who had taken the vow never to risk leaving Vrindavan could see that Srila Prabhupada, after sacrificing everything, including the benefit of residing in Vrindavan, to deliver fallen souls in the most God-forsaken locations of the world, had returned to the holy land of Vrindavan, and from there had departed for the original abode of Lord Krishna in the spiritual sky. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, anyone who executes service in Vrindavan certainly goes back to home, back to Godhead, after giving up his body. Srila Prabhupada's departure was also perfect because he was chanting and hearing the holy names of God. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present at Srila Prabhupada's passing, just as he was at the celebrated passing of Bhishma Dev, who said, despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. As Lord Krishna came before Bhishma Dev, assuring him and everyone else that Bhishma was returning back to Godhead on leaving his body, so the Lord, in his incarnation of Nam Avatar, the Hare Krishna mantra, was present for Srila Prabhupada's departure. Srila Prabhupada's life had been dedicated to spreading the holy name to every town and village, and for a month he had been surrounding himself with the holy name. For his passing away, he especially wanted to fill the room with devotees chanting Hare Krishna, and Krishna fulfilled that wish. Srila Prabhupada therefore departed under the most favorable circumstances possible, in the most sacred place, Vrindavan, surrounded by Vaishnavas chanting the holy name. An ideal spiritual teacher, Acharya, always acts in such a way that others may follow his example. As Srimad Bhagavatam states, these great souls who cross over the ocean of birth and death by taking shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna miraculously leave the boat on this side for others to use. And Srila Prabhupada's disappearance by its perfect example affords all conditioned souls the means for meeting the greatest of all dangers. An auspicious death is not merely a matter of psychological adjustment so that one may die without regret or without becoming unduly upset. The real point is that at the time of death, the soul must leave the body and take his next birth. Only the Krishna conscious soul can leave this world of birth and death and attain an eternal blissful life in the spiritual world. Therefore, one's life is tested at death. Death means the soul cannot stand to live in the body anymore. Whatever the material cause may be, the situation has become unbearable for the soul, and leaving the body causes great distress. The Shastras, therefore, advise us to get free from the cycle of repeated birth and death. Meeting an inauspicious death and being dragged down to a lower birth is the most fearful thing for the living being. So fearful is it that we may try to ignore death altogether. Death is painful because the eternal spirit soul is placed in a most unnatural situation. Although he is eternal and should not have to die, he is forced to die because of his connection with the material body. At death, the eternal soul is forced to leave the body for a destination he knows not. Thus, he is full of fear and suffering. The pain and fear are usually overwhelming, and one thinks only of material attachments or bodily pain. Therefore, King Kulashekar prayed, and Prabhupada often quoted, "Please let me pass away, not in some prolonged contemplation of my bodily death, but just while I'm chanting Hare Krishna. If I can meditate on you and then pass from this body, that will be perfection." Over the last months of his life in this world, Srila Prabhupada taught how it is possible to meet death step by step in Krishna consciousness. In his last days, he told one of his sannyasis, "Don't think this isn't going to happen to you." Prabhupada came into this world on Krishna's request to teach us how to live a pure life of Krishna consciousness, and that includes how to finally pass away from this world to attain eternal life. Prabhupada underwent death in a way that was perfect and glorious, and at the same time in a way which we can all follow. When we have to go, we can cling to the memory of how a great soul left his body, always thinking of Krishna, surrounding himself with the medicine of chanting Hare Krishna, always desiring to hear about Krishna, and practicing detachment from the misery of the material condition. This last lesson was one of the most wonderful and important instructions Srila Prabhupada gave us. He taught by his life, by his books, and at the end by his dying. Education in how to die is meant especially for the human being. An animal dies, and a human being also dies. But a human being is supposed to understand the process of going back to the spiritual world at the time of death. Remaining always fixed and undisturbed in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada expertly taught the process. His passing away, therefore, was a perfect lesson and one that can be faithfully followed. Okay. While there was nothing lamentable for Srila Prabhupada in his departing from the world and going back to Godhead, it was certainly lamentable for his followers and for the people of the whole world who became bereft of the presence of their greatest well-wisher and benefactor. Srila Prabhupada had written in a Srimad Bhagavatam purport, "When the mortal body of the spiritual master expires, the disciple should cry, exactly like the queen cries when the king leaves his body." At the departure of his own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada had written, "On that day, O my master, I made a cry of grief. I was not able to tolerate the absence of you, my guru." And so on November 14, 1977, as the powerful news spread around the world, those who knew and loved Srila Prabhupada were gripped by a fearful, unrestricted grief. They saw everything around them in the overwhelming atmosphere of separation from Srila Prabhupada. They turned for solace to Srila Prabhupada's books, However, the disciples and the spiritual master are never separated because the spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple. As long as the disciple follows the instructions of the spiritual master, this is called the association of vani. Physical presence is called vapu. As long as the spiritual master is physically present, the disciple should serve the physical body of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master is no longer physically existing, the disciple should serve the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada's disciples were already carrying out his instructions, but now they would have to do so without the vapu, without the opportunity of regularly seeing and being with him. At first, this was very difficult for them to face, but those who were sincere soon realized that Srila Prabhupada had, upon his departure, given them the greatest gift of all, service and separation. Service and separation is the highest realization in ecstasy. This was the teaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in regard to Lord Krishna and his foremost devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan. When Krishna left his beloved gopis and went to Mathura, never to return to them in Vrindavan, the gopis and all the other residents of Vrindavan wept piteously in separation. They so much loved Krishna that they could not live without him. And to maintain their lives, they began to constantly remember and discuss his name, fame, form, and entourage. By constantly remembering him in love and by anticipating his return to Vrindavan, they achieved an ecstasy of union and separation, which Gaudiya Vaishnava scholars declare to be superior even to the ecstasy the gopis felt in Krishna's presence. So, a couple more paragraphs here. Because Krishna is absolute, even remembering him or chanting his name puts the devotee into direct contact with him. But because there is simultaneously a feeling of separation from him, there is an added dimension of inconceivable simultaneous union and separation. This is the epitome of Krishna conscious realization. Prabhupada's followers knew this principle of service and separation, technically known as Vipralamba Seva. But to most devotees, it was a theoretical realization. Before one can feel intense loving separation from Krishna, one must first feel intense attraction to him. But for the conditioned soul who has forgotten and abandoned Krishna and has come to the material world under the spell of Maya, illusion, for him, separation from Krishna is based on complete ignorance and forgetfulness. In coming to spiritual life, a neophyte first begins to awaken to the very existence of God as he overcomes atheistic misconceptions. Next, he comes gradually through practice to take up a relationship of service to Krishna, through serving his spiritual master. Intense love of Krishna and separation is the most advanced stage and cannot possibly be realized in full by the neophyte. Thus service and separation had remained a theoretical teaching to many of Prabhupada's followers. But when Srila Prabhupada departed from the world and left his disciples to carry on his mission, they immediately realized union with him in separation. He was gone, but he was still very much present. This realization was not a pretension or a myth. Nor was it sentimental psychic phenomena, telepathy, communion with the dead, or so on. It was a completely substantive, practical, palpable reality, a fact of life. Srila Prabhupada had given them personal service, and now they would continue that service. Prabhupada was still present through his instructions and all the nectar of his direct association. All the nectar of Krishna consciousness that he had given and shared with them was still available. Service and separation for Prabhupada's disciples was undoubtedly a fact. Otherwise, now that they were without his personal presence, how were they able to sustain themselves in spiritual life? The fact that they could continue as before increased their feelings of devotion and even increased their serving capacity meant that Srila Prabhupada was very much still with them. As Srila Prabhupada's last instruction was the lesson of how a human being should die, he now taught, beyond dying, how to practically implement the highest philosophical teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. This realization gave the devotees great hope that Srila Prabhupada and the revolutionary life of Krishna consciousness he had brought with him were not finished upon his departure. Often when a great personality dies, his contribution collapses. But Srila Prabhupada's presence remained and expanded, sustaining his devotees' lives. He was still in charge. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, turn it over to who speaks next.
Hare Krishna. Today we remember Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, and we remember that day. But I just wanted to touch exactly the last piece, the last point that Prabhu wrote. It is about the memories that we have with Prabhupada after Prabhupada left. Personally, I was very young, and I was just initiated, and it was devastating. But for me, to have a service to be there was enough. For me, it was enough. And as we get all trained Prabhupada taught us how to live. He taught us how to live, actually. And we knew what to do. We just have Prabhupada in our heart. So we just have Prabhupada in the car. We have at least some Prabhupada's tape. We cook with Prabhupada's tape. And so Prabhupada continued. I mean, this is why we're all here. And it's so long ago. It's just so long ago. And everything is the same. We're still here. The deities are getting dressed. And actually, that amazes me every day when I hear, oh, in a few months we are in London, 40 years. You think, oh, yeah, that was my first temple. And it's 40 years ago. And yeah, he taught us how to live. We know exactly what to do any time of the day. We just know. And I live outside for a long time, and I still do the same things. And that base, that stability, is actually because Prabhupada's in our heart. Prabhupada taught us how to do that. So Prabhupada, for me, the memories of Prabhupada are what we do every day. It's like the meaning of transcendence. When we see a movie or something like that, and you see it for the second time, you said, oh, I already saw that. You can't bear to see it again. But we read the same books. I listen to Prabhupada's tape again and again and again. My children at the beginning, they say, the same tape? How can you listen it again and again? But every single time is wonderful. Every single time. And that's meaning of transcendence. That's transcendence. It is always new. And this movement is transcendental. And it was so long ago Prabhupada left this world. And we're still here doing exactly the same what he said. And it looked very simple. Actually, when I joined, I thought, this is too simple to be true. You know, there were other gurus then, and it was India. I come from the hippie time, and they were a very complicated thing and very esoteric thing. And this was simple. And I was amazed that it was pure mercy that I chose him, because I didn't. It was not because I understood. It's just mercy. And it is, I still feel the same. And he's with me all the time. And he's with everyone at home now. You go to a temple room, it's Prabhupada's tape. And you go to a car, it's again. So he's there. He's for me, is my stability, the source of trust. You know, I'm probably going to leave my body, and he's there. I didn't want to do this. But yes, sometimes I feel this is my last time. But he's going to be there. And I hope you're also going to be there. And I would like to leave my body just like you read. Just with all of you chanting around me. I'm sorry. You go.
Maybe we can get a copy over here. I forgot, sorry. Probably you know it already. Does someone like to play cartels? Harmonium, if possible. Oh yeah, thank you. Okay. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of those devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottam Das simply weeps. This is the song, the standard song that we sing on the disappearance of the great Acharya. So we can take the opportunity to sing it together now.
Jaya Nilo Prema Dana Koruna Prachu Na prabhu kota gela charya taku kaha mora Sanatan Pahadasha Raghunatha Patita Pavan Kali Kuta Gila Goda Natara
could collect the song sheets and thank you. Yes. I was just thinking about this idea of separation, and actually the heart comes alive when one feels separation for the Lord and for the devotees. I know the moment of my greatest pain and separation from Srila Prabhupada, they're rare because my heart is very covered over, but those moments were the moments when I felt I wouldn't trade those moments for anything, because at that time I was finally alive. Prabhupada said on a number of occasions he spoke about the disappearance of his guru, and on one he mentioned, as Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are all spiritual, transcendental, they are not ordinary things. Similarly, Lord Krishna's devotee, his representative, who is sent to this material world for preaching the glories of Lord Krishna, their appearance and disappearance is also like Krishna's. So it's not that we're feeling something for someone in an ordinary sense. The separation is separation on the transcendental platform, because the departure is transcendental. Prabhupada's departure had nothing to do with the ordinary course of events as far as death is concerned, although he would say like that. But anyone who is near or even hears about it knows something different, because Prabhupada has trained us to see these things. Of course, Bhishma Devi is always mentioned when we're thinking about the departure of Prabhupada, and I thought it would be relevant, and for me it was something that was going in my mind the last few days, to speak a verse that Bhishma Devi spoke when he was leaving his body, and a little bit of Prabhupada's purport. This is 1940. Lalita gati vilasa valguhasa pranaya nirikshana kalpitorumana kritamanu kritavacha unvadandha prakritam agankila yasya gopavadva. Let my mind be fixed upon Lord Sri Krishna, whose motions and smiles of love attracted the damsels of Brajadham, the gopis. The damsels imitated the characteristic movements of the Lord after his disappearance from the rasa dance. Prabhupada says, Bhishma's aspiration to remember the gopis is a prayer to have their mercy also at the last stage of life. The Lord is satisfied more when his pure devotees are glorified. And therefore Bhishma Dev has not only glorified the acts of Arjuna, his immediate object of attraction, but has also remembered the gopis who were endowed with unrivaled opportunities by rendering loving service to the Lord. The gopis' equality with the Lord should never be misunderstood to be like the Sayuja liberation of the impersonalist. The equality is one of perfect ecstasy, where the differential conception is completely eradicated, for the interests of the lover and the beloved become identical. So sometimes we think of Bhishma Dev, his relationship with Krishna was chivalrous, but he himself was remembering the gopis, and Prabhupada took the opportunity at different times in his purports to reveal to us the essence, the highest essence, give us some glimpse of the highest essence of pure love, and with the proper perspective, one of Prabhupada's greatest gifts, because this highest essence of pure love is not easily understood. So Prabhupada has provided us everything in perfection. He has opened our eyes to the falsity of material desire, to the falsity of material life, and he's offered us the most perfect conception of selfless pure love. Actually, he made us human beings. He made us human beings. He has brought incomparable riches to the incomparably wretched. And unfortunately, some have preferred to look for something more. And thus they've unwittingly fall into a definition that was made by a modern scholar of Vaishnavism. The scholar, he doesn't actually understand Krishna Leela. He doesn't understand that Krishna Leela is eternal and real. He thinks it's a projection of the mind onto the land of Vrindavan. But what he says, he says that meditation on Krishna Leela, he says the desired end is a religious voyeurism and vicarious enjoyment said to produce infinite bliss. He's saying that voyeurism is kind of very low class sinful activity that people do. They like to look in people's bedroom windows. And vicarious means you don't enjoy, but you can't enjoy, but you watch somebody else enjoy. So this is his idea. And Sariputta Prabhu, he counteracted this by saying that such sad conclusions are avoided in the more balanced approach taken by traditional Vaishnavas, who stress Krishna's role as the supreme creator and the performer of humanly impossible pastimes on earth. So Prabhupada gave us the perspective of Krishna as the greatest and as also as the most beloved. he really touched our heart on so many levels in giving us Krishna. When Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu was here one time, he was reading poems by Andal from South India, and she's a great, great acharya. In South India, Krishna Prema is also, it's international there in India. Anyway, this great poet, she married Krishna. They actually had a marriage procession. She wouldn't marry anybody else, so her father got her married to the deity. And there was a huge procession. But before that whole lila took place in a manifest way, she already had seen it in a dream. And she was describing it to her friend. And Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu was repeating that what she had said, if there was a chorus, I saw this in a dream, my friend. I saw this in a dream, my friend. And then I thought, that's our dream. That's what Prabhupada's given us. He's given us this dream that we can be with Krishna. It's not a dream. A dream isn't something that's not real. It's our intense desire. We can be with Krishna. And we can associate with him in love in a very intimate capacity. We all adore the gopis because they show the highest love for Krishna. But some of us like the idea of being a cowherd boy. We can play with Krishna. We can play with God. We can dance with God. And God is so wonderful. And he has revealed this to us. Prabhupada has revealed this to us. We don't need to go anywhere else to find out about this. And if we do, it's very risky, because if the perfect conception has already been given and we build on it in the wrong way, it's a big mistake. And those of us who stick to the shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet are blessed to have the correct perspective from which to approach the absolute truth, not to be bewildered by false promises of shortcuts in this regard. On his deathbed, Srila Prabhupada stressed the importance of living a life of regulated sadhana and service, assuring us that if we followed this, we would make steady, substantial advancement that would set us firmly on the path of liberation. From that perspective, we may relish his generosity in revealing to us the most intimate aspects of the Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna. Anything of any substantial value that I personally have is only because of Srila Prabhupada, and because he lived and died to give this to me. And I'd like to just read a little bit of what Prabhupada was saying on his deathbed. Tamagun and Rajaguna increase lust and greed, which implicate a living entity in such a way that he must exist in this material world in many, many forms. This is very dangerous. One should therefore be brought to Sattva-gun by the establishment of Varnashram Dharma, and should develop the brahminical qualifications of being very neat and clean, rising early in the morning and seeing Mangal Arati, and so on. In this way, one should stay in Sattva-guna, and then one cannot be influenced by Tamaguna and Rajaguna. One should understand that no one's independent, for everything is part and parcel of Krishna and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This understanding, this consciousness, is Krishna consciousness. This Prabhupada was saying that, whispering it, because he couldn't. He could only whisper it. His body was so frail. I was with one very wonderful Vaishnavi for the last week of her life, and I served her in a way that I didn't think it was possible for me to serve anybody, because I'm so self-centered, it's outrageous. But when someone is actually in that condition and is Krishna conscious, you become selfless to that person. You don't care about your own eating and sleeping. You don't care about anything. She had provided everything for me. She had arranged to have a bed in the same room. I didn't sleep on that bed. The hospital provided me another room to sleep in. I didn't sleep in that room. I sat in a chair by her bed for 7 days, because I loved her and she loved me, and because she loved Krishna. At one point she told me, "Jai Bhadra, you're so sweet." I said, "Bhakti Rupa, I have nothing. I only have Prabhupada. Prabhupada is all I have." And then she says, "Prabhupada. Oh, Prabhupada." She said, "I used to be afraid of Srila Prabhupada because he spoke so strongly." But God, she said, because you helped me to understand who he is. I love him so much. This is Prabhupada. He's there for all of us at every moment, as Maharadvatri was saying. And it's our duty. Prabhupada often says in the scriptures, our duty to become Krishna conscious, because it's been given to us so freely. This opportunity, this priceless opportunity, has been given to us so freely by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And so it's just goes against the principles of love to not accept. And it's our duty to love someone who loves us with no motivation. So thank you very much. Now we're going to ask Vishakha to say something. That was her last one. That's it.
Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvase Sasanyavari Paskya Tadesh Tarni Vanshakopa Tarubhyascha Kripasi Yubi Evita Patita Namparavevyo Vaishnavevyo Namonama. So very often in the course of his preaching, Prabhupada would speak about death, birth, death, disease, and old age. And sometimes we would hear the challenge, but devotees also die. Devotees are also subject to death. So what is the advantage of being a devotee? Non-devotees die, devotees die. So Prabhupada explained that. He quoted a verse from Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarva Harascham, that mrityu is death, sarva is all-devouring, harascham, I am also that all-devouring death. Mrityu Sarva Harascham. And then he explained in a beautiful analogy. He said that death is like a cat, and a materialistic person is like a rat. So when the cat of death comes for the rat of the materialistic person, that rat is terrified, full of fear. How can I leave my family? How can I leave my rat nest, my responsibilities? But then the devotee is like the kitten. So the same cat comes with the same powerful jaws and the same pearly white sharp teeth. But it comes to the kitten, and the kitten is thinking, oh, my mother is coming to pick me up. She will take me to a safe place. So our goal, my goal, is to be go from being a rat to being a kitten. Darwin's little change on Darwin's theory. But my husband and I were in Vrindavan when Prabhupada left. We arrived there, and just before he arrived, he came from London. And at that point, I hadn't seen him for about 5 months. And he came out of the car. I was a photographer, so I was always photographing. And they put him on a palanquin and held him very high on their shoulders, these young men, right? And he was so thin and so weak. His head was bobbing from the motion of the palanquin carriers carrying him. And so I took pictures, as I always did, and then I ran to my room. I was overcome by the sight of him, so weak and feeble. And then from that time, we were there for maybe 6 weeks in Vrindavan. And he was lying on his bed in his front room in his quarters at the Krishna Balaram temple. And devotees were coming from all over the world. And Prabhupada was interacting with them in a very personal way. And there was always kirtan going on. And every day was a drama. The news come from his room, you know, what he would eat, what he wouldn't eat, what he said, what he was drinking. Every day was just tremendously emotional for us. And we always held on to this hope that he would get better, hope against hope, that somehow his digestion would improve, his kidneys would start working, the Kaviraj would have some medicine that would help. And Prabhupada also encouraged us, actually, in that way. At one point he said to his senior people that at first he would say, it's up to Krishna what becomes of me. And then at another point, just a little bit later, he said, Krishna has given me the option whether to stay or whether to go. So the devotees meditated on that. They came back to Prabhupada and said, if Krishna has given you the option, then we implore you, please stay. Please take the option of staying. And Prabhupada said, okay, bring some prasadam. I'll have some prasadam now. So in that way, it's hard to convey to you the emotion of those days. We're hanging on each bite, on each sip, on each word, and just wrapped up in Prabhupada consciousness. And then finally it became, you know, very clear that he was going to go. That, I guess he took that option by his own desire. And the Kaviraj, we were taking prasadam. That's one thing we're going to see a video soon, so I'm repeating some of what will be in that video, but there's also sweetness in repetition. So Prabhupada's godbrothers would come to say goodbye to him, and they'd sit on the side of his bed, right? And Prabhupada was so weak, it would take all his energy, and he'd raise his arms like this and put them together and say, please forgive me for my offenses to you. Because in the course of preaching, sometimes he spoke very strongly, and apparently, you could say, spoke about his godbrothers, that they were not doing enough on behalf of their spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that they were bickering amongst themselves instead of preaching the glories of Lord Chaitanya. And to see him do that, to see his humble mood and the appeal that he made to his godbrothers, you know, it touched us to the core of our hearts. And his godbrothers would always reply, we take no offense in anything you've said. That simply you're the greatest servant of your spiritual master, of our spiritual master. And you are our leader. Always had the greatest reverence for him. And Prabhupada, even he would ask if the devotees there in Vrindavan had proper prasadam and there was adequate prasadam, like we sing every morning, you know. He's thinking about the Bhagavad prasad, so even at that time he was thinking about his followers and concern for their welfare. So it was something truly extraordinary. And I wish I had the words to put you there more. Words are so limited, and my ability to find them and speak them are even more limited. But it made us more devoted to him and more convinced that what we wanted was to become Krishna conscious by pleasing him, by following his instructions, by holding on to them through thick and thin and through the waves of time. Time has this terrible effect of destroying everything that's material. So if our attachment to Krishna has some material tinges, then time can eat away at that, chip away at that. So we want our attachment to become completely spiritualized and not be worried about power and adoration and fame and profit, because those material things won't last, and they will eventually cause a problem, a spiritual problem. So on November 14th, we were taking prasadam at the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and we heard word from the Kaviraj that Srila Prabhupada has about 5 more hours. So we all went to his room, everyone who was in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram temple. We made a circle around his bed, and we chanted. It was like the genuine crying of the child for the mother. And we chanted and we chanted, and Prabhupada left. Some people say it was 7:25, and others say it was 7:30, and I understood it was 7:27. But there are controversies about everything, right? So at that time, we left the room briefly, and the devotees dressed him, and they took his form to the temple so he could have darshan for the deities And we sang this beautiful song that Jai Bhadra Prabhu sang, Krishnadas Kaviraj. Krishnadas Babaji was there, Prabhupada's godbrother, and sang it in the most heart-rendering way. And Prabhupada sat in the palanquin, and we put the palanquin on his Vyasa-san. And we stayed up with him, and the next day, on the request of the Brijbasis, we took him to all the 7 major temples in Vrindavan. And at each place we'd stop, and the Brijbasis would come and offer garlands and arti to him. And then we put him in a samadhi. This is all, you'll be seeing this in a few minutes. And then we took a brass murti on Govardhan Parikrama, because that was one of his last desires. And in fact, he very much wanted that, but the devotees heard from the Kaviraj that if we took him on Govardhan Parikrama, his Govardhan Puja was just a few days before his passage, that he would surely die. There was no question of him living through that. And that was fine with Prabhupada, but the devotees were unable to accommodate that. So Prabhupada just remained for 2-3 more days and passed away in his room in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada, in speaking about the passage of his spiritual master, he used two words, prakat and aprakat. So prakat means manifest. He gave the example like the sun. Now the sun is out, we can see it, we can perceive it with our senses. So when the spiritual master is here, that's prakat. And aprakat is unmanifest. When the sun sets, we can know theoretically it's here, but we can't perceive it with our senses. But the sun is still there in the sky. So similarly, the spiritual master was prakat. He was here, and then he disappeared, but he's still there. As we read, he's still there in the hearts of the sincere followers. And by following his simple program that he's given, as the Prabhus were saying here, simply by sincerely following, we can experience his presence in our lives, in our hearts, and we should take that as the greatest treasure. So it's a little after 9. I think we're going to shift over to the video room. I can just say a couple of words about this video. That it's an extremely powerful video. It's the final in our series, the Following Srila Prabhupada DVD series. It's number 11. It's shorter than the others. It's only 2 hours. The others are 3. And, you know, you see Prabhupada in this condition that I described, and you see him actually at the moment that he left his body. So some people may not want to see it, and that's your option. But I would say that Prabhupada invited all the devotees to be here, be there with him at that time. He did not try to hide it, and he allowed myself to photograph it, my husband to film it, and to record it. And he was giving us this lesson that all of us will face. He said, as we read, don't think this won't happen to you. Many of us are in our younger years, 20s and 30s, and I also, believe it or not, was once 20 and 30, and I thought that I would never grow old, but it happens. You can't stop it. I thought it would happen to everybody else, but it wouldn't happen to me. But all of us are going to be facing that final moment, and Prabhupada is teaching us, and it's a very grim lesson, but it's a necessary lesson, so you're welcome not to attend the video, but it is something that Prabhupada invited us to be present for. No, we're going to watch until about 10:30, an hour and a half. So we'll shift to the video room. Thank you very much.